Hi, you're listening to a podcast from Frontline Youth Group. We're so glad you're here. This podcast was recorded at our weekly Frontline program. We hope it encourages you and we'd love to see you at our next event. Enjoy.
Hey, how good is it to be at Frontline Live? Because as we were singing about, as we were worshipping, God's presence is here. And I don't know about you, but it can feel really nice and warm, as was said, and fun at Frontline because God's presence is here. But the other thing to note is that God's presence is everywhere that we go. And yes, it's wonderful to come here tonight and sense God's presence, but sometimes we can lose track, even over our holidays and in our day-to-day life, that God's presence goes with us absolutely everywhere. And that is an absolute joy, because the joy is not just youth on a Friday night. The joy is living in relationship with a living God who loves you and wants to live in relationship with you as well. And so this is why we gather together. And thank you for being with us if you're new as well tonight. It's great to have you. And we've got an exciting term ahead. It's a long term. And so right from the outset, I want to say to you, strap yourself in. Strap yourself in. Because term two, we know, gets cold and it's dark now. It's not daylight savings. And at the end of term two, there are exams for some people and tests, and everyone gets a little bit stressed. But can I say something to you? Friday nights and Sundays at church, can I say that they're so, so important in your life? Because we need to be coming together as a community and continuing to build each other up, even when it's cold, even when it's wet, even when it's rainy, because we are a family here at Frontline. And a family sticks by each other, whether they want to be around each other or whether they don't, whether it's convenient to be around each other or whether they don't, because we care for each other and we want to see each other continue to take steps in our relationship with God. And last term, we had a theme. Does anyone remember the theme that we had last term? Alter your life. Well done, well done. Alter your life. And we want to see you continue to put things at the altar before God. Because we had some amazing decisions last year and some amazing moments. Our encounter night was incredible, where many people encountered the living God, and we continue to do that. But it's not a once-off. It's not like we did that in the first term and it's done. It's actually a continual process, a daily thing to surrender at the altar before God. And over the holidays, we, as a leadership team, hands up if you're a leader here, we have an amazing leadership team. We went away last weekend on a retreat and we prayed for all of you. We prayed into this term. We invested into each other because we are a family within a family as well. And we speak life into each other, but we also speak life into what is coming up and what we want to see here at Frontline. We talk about all of you and we talk about the things that we want to do in the next term and coming up, as well as what we pray into what God wants for us as well. And you might look at our leaders, and I love our leaders. Our leaders are an amazing team who give up their Friday nights. They're not paid. They come here voluntarily because they love all of you and they want to see you encounter God the way that they've encountered God for their life and continue to live in relationship with Him. And we spoke about on this leaders retreat, for them to lead well, for us to lead well as your leaders, we actually need to lead ourselves well. It starts with us. And you know, for you as well, tonight I've had on my heart that stepping into this term, there is actually a mantle of leadership upon this place. A mantle of leadership, and I'll explain what I mean by that. A mantle of leadership upon your life, individually, that God has placed upon you. You might look at our leadership team and think, well, it's just obvious, you know, they're leaders, they're made to lead. You know, they're born with it, or they're always just kind of perfect. But the truth is, each and every one of us have our own struggles, just like you, that we work through. Each and every one of us leaders have areas of our life where we feel inadequate, even areas in our leadership where we feel as though we're not quite up to scratch, areas that we feel weak in. And each of us individually are required to actually confront those things and continue to grow in our walk with God, just like each and every one of you. We have to lead ourselves through these areas. We have to lead ourselves through the weaknesses so that we can lead others well as well. And so last term we spoke about an altar being a place of obedience, an altar being a place of devotion, and an altar being a place of consecration, meaning we offer ourselves as a sacrifice to God. And part of leadership is exactly that. It's being obedient to God. It's devoting your time. It's devoting what you have to Him. And then it's sacrificing to him in consecration as well. This is all aspects of our leadership. And for those who was here when Ben Kumar spoke at that live night, he spoke something really challenging. One of his lines was that Jesus gave it all for you. He went through in detail what Jesus did for you in the cross, and that was only scratching the surface. And then he reversed that question. He said, but what are you willing to give up for God? Or what aren't you willing to give up for God? And it's a really challenging question, because for Jesus' sacrifice to have significance for us, we have to actually make it personal. We have to ask ourselves, well, what does that mean to me? Am I willing to reflect that myself? Am I willing to lay down my life? God, not that you would have part of my life, but that you would be at the center of it. Because that is the call for Jesus. And so when I talk about mantle of leadership, leadership is about being obedient to God in the everyday. To be able to lead people to Him. It's about offering and putting Jesus at the center of your life. In the first live night, when we had that really short message that launched the altar, we spoke about a man named Elijah and how Elijah was building this altar before people, and the fire fell on the altar. We all remember that. Fire fell, and it was this incredible moment. But before the fire fell from God to fix that area of life that they were in and to prove that He was the real God, Elijah had to actually build the altar. And in the same way, we were called and are called to build an altar. And in this book later on, there's actually this guy Elisha who comes after that. And Elisha is given this mantle of leadership upon his life from Elijah before Elijah actually ascends to heaven. He doesn't even die. That's how incredible that prophet was. He's taken off in a chariot. And I wanted to get a few leaders up here. Could I get Holly up? Could I get, Aiden? Aiden around? Aiden, and then Tegan, you were next, I reckon. Then Rowan, and then Alicia. Where's Alicia? You guys come up here. I haven't told these guys about this. And I brought this. This is one of my sweat cardigans, which some people say is feminine. I think it's cool, so I wear it. And this is going to represent our mantle, because mantles in the Old Testament, they looked a little bit like this. So Holly can put that on. Rowan, you need a slot in between Tegan and Alicia. These guys have all been leaders for many years. Now, Holly started. She's been the leader for the longest. And then she went along and she passed that mantle on to Aiden. Now, she's still here, but she continues to pass that mantle on. And as our leaders come through the leadership team, they actually impart some wisdom and some knowledge to the other leaders. And then Aiden passed it on to Tegan, who came on board next, and she passed that mantle along. And then Tegan, as soon as she gets it on, she passes it on to Rowan, because he was pretty quick after that. And gets it on to Alicia, who's one of our freshest leaders. And there she is. And Alicia, you get to keep my cardigan. Not really. I want that back, actually. But you get to keep it for the night, which is very exciting. A mantle. This thing here represented, it actually symbolized a purpose in Scripture. In the case of the prophets, it actually showed that they were wrapped in God's authority. So it represented God's authority upon their life. But like all imagery in the Old Testament, it actually points to something in the New Testament, which for those that don't know is what we are living in today, post-Jesus, New Testament era. And the mantle can be seen today in the New Testament as actually an anointing of the Holy Spirit, whom God so graciously gives to all Christians, the people of His choosing. You guys can sit down. Thank you, guys. Thanks for the illustration. Be warm, Alicia. Enjoy it. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race. Everyone say chosen race. You can do better than that. Say chosen race. Good job. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Does anyone still experience in PE or in sport or in a game at lunchtime, do you still do like the two captains and then pick your teams and you go, I want you and then I want you? People still do that? I thought that was like rubbed out when I was in high school, because you never wanted to be that last person standing. And if you ever did it, you might pick the first like one or two, and then you'd go, all right, you get you, and because then it makes the people feel less bad that are picked last. But does anyone know what it feels like to be a part of one of those where you're getting picked in those moments? I know what it feels like as well. In fact, I went through an experience where I was overlooked as well. And where's Andy Barker? Andy Barker's here tonight. He might find this in a couple of years because his name is going to go forward into the draft in the AFL. And my name was in that draft as well. And I really loved football. All I wanted to do was play AFL footy. And what happens is when you get to 18 and you're playing representative footy, your name goes in for 4 years. You get 4 years, your name's in the system, and it keeps going through, and the AFL clubs can pick you up from there. And so I never got to a point where I thought, oh, I'm really a very good chance here. But every time I would still sit down and I'd watch that draft and think, oh, maybe there's a chance. There's a chance that late down the order, I might go like really late, or my name might get called at some point. And every year it felt like less and less likely. I was playing VFL, but it was not gonna cut it for the AFL. And you watch this draft and still it's a little bit of a soft spot for me, where even to the later years, I never actually watched the draft. I never wanted, even though my friends were getting picked up and they were getting dry, I never wanted to go near it because it was hurtful to not get picked. And you watch all those names go by and you don't get picked in that. And I know in life it can feel a little bit like that for us as well, and it might not be for a team, or you might not be that way inclined where you want to get picked first in the school lunchtime game, or picked in that, but it might be picked in a friendship group, or picked to go to a party, or picked to go number one with your friends to a certain place that you're going on the holidays. Or it might be something that is important to you that you get overlooked or you get overseen, or it might be a boyfriend or a girlfriend, even at that point in your life. It might be for a role that you're going for work soon. And we can feel as though we are just getting overlooked. But here's what the Bible says. When it comes to your life, and firstly that Jesus loves us, because that's the first and most important thing, God says he chooses you. He picks you. Pick one is you. Pick one is Levi. Pick one is Jed. Pick one is Jonathan. Pick one is Lincoln. Pick one is Ella. Pick one is Mimi. You are pick one. You are chosen. I know that illustration wasn't very good because I wasn't choosing you. I was choosing four people. But imagine I said your name and I was choosing you because God chooses you. Number one, because he loves you. He chose you. But number two, he chooses you to lead. And I know that looking around at a number of people this big, I know that it is for certain that many of you will look at yourself and say, I am not a leader. I'm not a leader. Maybe that person has a mantle of leadership on their life, but for me, nah, I don't fit the mold. That's not who God created me to be. Yet because you live, if you have accepted Jesus as a Christian, as a follower of God, it means you have the Holy Spirit within you, which means you have a mantle of leadership upon your life. Not to be who your leaders are at Frontline, but to be an individually created leader who has been anointed by God to carry leadership. Isn't that pretty cool? You are a leader. And in every year level, I know that there are often those people that you might think, well, they're the leader, or they call the shots, or they're cool, or you know, they're the best couple, that's the best sports person, or even they're the best Christian. And unfortunately, we can box ourselves in to a certain role in our life, or only being a follower. And I want you guys to capture some of this. I saw this video and I thought, yeah, this is a kid that is excited about even the smallest role in life. Let's watch this video. Thanks, guys.
I am for the nativity. I'm a classic one.
Classic role, is it? Classic part?
Yeah.
Joseph?
No.
One of the three wise men?
No.
But it's a classic part?
Yeah.
Okay. You tell me then, because...
I'm door holder number three. I'll be holding doors.
That's amazing! Holding doors for who?
Probably Joseph and Mary.
Oh my gosh, were you pleased when they said that?
And I was like, I'm a door holder, get in there, let's go. Yeah. I'll have to wear like brown.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
Excellent. Well, that's really smart, Milo.
Get in there. How good. Get in. How good. Do you reckon we should adopt that as a frontline saying? Get in there, maybe. Yeah, I like it. All right. So that kid, I was just overjoyed by seeing him because he illustrates something that I think as followers of God, as Christians, we all, whether you see yourself as a leader or not, we all should gravitate to a little bit of that. We should grab some of that. We should be challenged by that. Because the truth is that, yes, you might get an opportunity somewhere down the track to be maybe on a stage with a microphone speaking the word of God, or maybe one day you'll be on the worship team, or maybe one day you will be able to speak to a really impactful person about the word of God, and it's going to be amazing. But you know what? The majority of the time, we are door holder number three. During the week, when you are looking out for your friend who's getting bullied at lunchtime, you are door holder number three. You are the person who is not doing something that seems overly significant, yet God has called you to lead in that moment. You know, in David and Goliath, we all know about David who did the slingshot and got Goliath knocked over in that moment. We all heard of that? We heard of David and Goliath? Maybe in passing if you haven't heard it that common. But David, he does this amazing thing, little guy, knocks over this giant in Goliath, and no one expects him to do that. And that's what we all talk about, right? That's the amazing thing. But to get to that point, David actually had to be faithful in the small thing. He had to actually bring the lunch to get to that point for his brothers. At that point, he had a call upon his life. Samuel came and he anointed him and said, "You are going to be king one day." And he went back and he was a shepherd. And he was just faithful in the small things. And he could have said, "No, I'm going to be king one day, Dad. I'm not going to take the lunch to my brothers." But no, he says, "No, this is an opportunity." He's faithful in the small. And then he says, "No, God can knock over this giant. So I'm going to be the one to step forward." But he would never have got to that point if he wasn't faithful in the small. And so I want to encourage you right now, if nothing else, if you don't see yourself right now in a position of leadership, leadership is still upon your life. If you think that someone else around your school group or around your group is more impactful, leadership is still in your life. If you think you've got nothing to give, which you do, God has created you with things to give and you've got gifts upon your life, even in the very small things and the acts of obedience where God and His Holy Spirit might challenge you to do something out of His word, that is an act of leadership. And we become faithful in the small things, and you watch, one day God is going to do a massive thing through your life. And so right now, I want to just stop and I want to pray before we go any further. And we've got a story to share with you tonight. But I want us to read this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. And I want you to look at it and I want you to make it personal to you right now. It says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." The mantle of leadership on our lives, it comes with a responsibility into the things of God. And you might be young right now, but you have an example to your brother, to your sister, to your friends. You are an example to these people out of speech and conduct in love, in faith, in purity. Are you leading others well? And the other question right now is, are you being led well? Are you being led well? And so right now, I just want us to close our eyes before we go any further. I want us to think about where we sit right now when it comes to, firstly, our faith in God. Do we see ourselves the way that God sees us? Do we talk to ourselves, even the way we think, the way we speak of ourselves? Do we speak the way that God speaks over you? That you are chosen, you are loved, that you have purpose for your life, that there is a mantle of leadership upon your life. And Father God, right now in your presence, before your word, Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to serve your kingdom, to grow in your ways, Lord God, to be in your presence. We thank you for relationship with you. But God, we also know that being picked on your team, when we were drafted that day, when we were recruited at pick one and you chose us, that we were not picked to sit on the bench. We were not picked to just sit there and not do anything. Lord God, you want to use us. You want us to step forward onto the court. You want us to step forward into our school ground. You want us to step forward in our families, in our friendship groups. You actually want to use us for your glory. And so right now, we choose to set aside any preconceived ideas about who I am or what I can do, because by your Spirit, Lord God, by the mantle of leadership that is upon our life, we are capable to do far more than we can even hope or imagine. And so, God, right now, we open ourselves up to be encouraged by your word, that we may take it forth and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Tonight, we're going to be encouraged by a fairy tale. Everyone like fairy tales? Yes? Not many people. Anyone like movies? Let's call it a movie then. Let's call it a movie over a fairy tale, all right? It's a movie. And it's about a young lady named Esther. Has anyone heard of Esther? Esther is an amazing book in the Bible. The only book in the Bible that actually doesn't mention God. Doesn't mention God in the whole book. It can illustrate in this time, and I think it was intentionally done, and there have been some commentaries on this to say this as well, that they reckon that it was done to show that even in God's absence, he is moving. Even in God's absence, he is at work. And this is a story that shows that. That even though God is not mentioned, he is at work throughout this entire book. And there might be seasons in your life where you feel really close to God. And also there are seasons where maybe you're going through something and the enemy is attacking you with maybe fear or with circumstances. And we say, God, where are you? And this book illustrates to us that God is right there. He is present. He may be looking a little bit different or feeling a little bit different at that time, but God is present. He is always with us, just as he was with his people in this time. In fact, we actually have a lot more in common with Esther than perhaps we realize. Even though it was in the Old Testament many years ago, there is a lot that we have in common with this book, which we're going to unpack tonight. And as I said, it comes across a bit like a movie. So I want you to take 30 seconds, turn to the person next to you, and this is going to be short, sharp. And I want you to ask the person next to you or say to them, if your life was a movie up till this point, what movie would it be? All right, 30 seconds. Turn to the person next to you. Thank you. All right, 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Good job. Eyes back up here. Hands up. Who had someone that they were talking to that gave a good movie? And I don't want any like MA stupid movies, but a good movie. Max? Listening? Did you have Ryan? B movie? The B movie. Ryan, do you care to elaborate or? Nah, just let the people find out. Go home and watch the B movie and think of Ryan while you're doing it. Anyone else? Charlie? Who did you have, Charlie? Sam. You had Sam. What did Sam say? Free Guy. Free Guy. Oh, so are you in a video game and then you work it out? Is that what happens in that movie? Yes? Yeah. All right, Chrissy? Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean. Oh, I like that. Mr. Bean. Bit of fun. Very good. All right. You can think about your answer if you didn't come up with one then. But some good answers there. I liked it. Very creative. Good for you to think about. Shh. Because the truth is, we are all part of a movie in a way. We're all part of God's story. And God has an outline for your life, which he is working through as well. With Esther, I did some Photoshop on, because anyone heard of Canva? Canva's like your best friend. You can like do all sorts of things on it. And so I had some fun in front of the footy last night and I came up with a couple of these Photoshops. So Esther, I think in the first part of her life, she is an orphan. And so I thought of the movie Annie. We can show that. There's Esther as Annie. Annie the orphan. So, Esther, now, by the way, there's not an actual picture of Esther, so this is a character image of her, but we're going to pretend that that's Esther throughout this. And at this time, Esther was an orphan. She was without her parents. And to give you some context as to what was happening at this time, the Jewish people were living in a post-Babylonian era. Do we all remember what happened in Babylon? Is anyone familiar with what happened in Babylon? It was a pretty dark time in the followers of God's walk, the Jewish people, the Israelites at that time. They were forced to live in exile, yet since Persia had come into power, a few Jews had actually scattered, so they were actually quite scarce in number. You may have heard of a guy called Nehemiah. He went back to build this wall up in Jerusalem again and was able to go back there. Yet Esther and her older cousin Mordecai were some of the few left in the Persian capital. And so she was raised by her older cousin, Mordecai. And so I thought maybe Esther isn't Annie. Maybe Esther is Spider-Man because he was raised by his Auntie May. Is that right? He was adopted. There it is, Spider-Man in there. And so there was this king at the time. There was this king. His name was King Xerxes. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but I'm going to pronounce it there. So I've added Nick Fury to the next one. We'll say that Nick Fury's the king because he's kind of the boss man. He's in control. And he was about as powerful as you can get. He was so powerful, this king. He ruled the largest province and could be titled as the King of Kings at that time. He was over the and across a lot of things. And so while things had, within this time, settled a little bit, they were still in a really quite confronting time in their walk, these Israelites, these peoples, these followers of God, because they were going through a time where there was a lot of conflict and a lot of opposition within this space. And the way I said before, we actually have a lot of in common. There were some themes within the book that are actually very similar themes to what we are walking through and what we're going through right now. Now, we live in a time where there is perhaps what you'd call more subtle opposition than what they were going through. There was more overt, I'm going to kill the Israelites, and that was often brought forward. But we live in a time, particularly here in Australia, where there is actually a Babylon culture. In other words, there are things that are really negative about what we see in society today, and things are getting increasingly harder. But actually, it's a bit more subtle. So people will say, yeah, we love you for who you are, and you just be you and you do you, and that's all good. And it's more subtle in those ways, and yet the push is very, very similar. You only have to look as far as, you know, the party life. And there's even a movie, get this, there's a movie that came out with Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie and all these actors in it that is actually called Babylon. And I haven't seen this movie. It's not worth anyone's time. It's ridiculous. But there's a picture of that, this was just released. And they're actually glorifying this very culture which was known for persecuting Christians and being like the pinnacle of difficulty within our walk. And we are in a time where people are like, because that was a party culture, that's us. That's where we're heading. Let's do it because it's fun. Let's do it because parties are great. Let's do it because who cares about tomorrow? Let's just make the most of right now. And we live in that society right now where people care about you for a moment and will forget about you next week. And there are times in your life where you're going to have friends, where you're going to have people that you come across that care about you for a moment, perhaps that moment in Babylon, but forget about you next week because they were actually in it for them. And I know that can be hard to hear, but that's why it's so important that we stay grounded in the things of God. Esther goes to show, as do so many books in the Bible, that it is possible to hang on to your faith around good, godly people who are going to lead you well as you lead them well in the midst of times where it is immensely difficult, where people are trying to drag you away from God. And so at this time, King Xerxes, he he's hanging on to kind of that party culture. He actually has a six-month-long party, a six-month party. And within that time, the queen at the time, he orders her to come out and kind of parade herself for the people at the party, and she refuses to come out because, rightfully so, she was not going to be a trophy wife in this time. There was more to her, and so she said no. And the king didn't like that. And so the king gets really upset and says, she can no longer be in my presence. And so he's looking for a replacement. He's looking for a new queen. And as a response to this, the king actually holds a beauty pageant. This is where it sounds a little bit like a movie, right? He holds this beauty pageant. The most beautiful woman would come and would become queen at this time. And so they gathered all the people in the area. I thought this turned into a bit of like Cinderella. We can put Cinderella up there. Esther becomes Cinderella because they're all coming to the ball and they all want to become the king's queen. And even to this very day, that is so in line with society. You don't have to go as far as The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. And they all just want to be the last one standing. This is like Old Testament Bachelor. They're coming in. And this is what happened. Esther 2 verse 17. The king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women. And she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti, the previous one. And so she wins. She enters this beauty pageant and she is the one who becomes queen. You know, we live in a society which is all about becoming famous, becoming important within that as well, whether it's through a musician or a movie star, influencer, reality TV. And we have to think about ourselves as well. Are we on that pursuit of fame? If we were to put ourselves forward in this beauty pageant, would we just want to get to the end for the wrong motives, just to glorify myself? But you see, Esther, it comes across, she's not actually setting out to become famous at this point. She is just positioned at the right place, at the right time, to be entered into this competition, and she wins. And I want you to write this down, because in your mantle of leadership, this is the first really important point I want you to take home tonight, that you are positioned to lead. You are positioned to lead. Where you are right now is not an accident. In fact, the very fact that you are here tonight in this space is not an accident. As I said before, God chose you. He also chose your situation, your circumstances, your very being here tonight in the space to be spoken over by the word of God. That's not by accident. It's because God wants you to do something with it. You are positioned to lead. And you know, if we saw more of our position as God's providence, do we know what providence means? Providence. It was an old Latin word, I think. I had it written down here somewhere. An old Latin word from providentia. Everyone say providentia. Providentia. Pro means ahead of time, ahead of time. Videntia means to see. It's where we get our word video from, to see. So God is a God of providence, meaning he sees ahead of time. And he saw that you would be here tonight. And he's actually calling you and saying, you are positioned right now, just as Esther was in that moment. Yes, it might have been more clear to her, but you are actually positioned right now to lead. He saw it and he ordained it. And even Mordecai at this time, he was sitting at the king's gate and he actually had an opportunity to speak and save the king's life, which feeds into the rest of this story as well. He's positioned for leadership, but it looks different to Esther in this point. Esther is made queen and has all these servants. Mordecai is sitting at the gates, overhears that some people are wanting to kill the king, and he passes on to Esther, who passes on to the king. And all of these things work together, not by accident. Some people might believe that it was just an accident or a fluke or something, you know, in the mystic world just provided the perfect opportunity. But we know as Christians that it's God's providence. It's who he is. And so we have to remember that as well. And point number two for you to take home is that leadership And this is not a nice tickly thing to hear. But leadership takes submission to God's authority. And tonight I want to make really clear that I know that those words, submission and authority, can be a little bit uncomfortable in today's era. Particularly, I know that I might say that it's easy to be under authority for God, but for people, really, like to be under authority of people, yet that's so important to God. To God, submission and authority is actually really important. You know, sometimes I do this to Holly, and you might say this to your parents as well, and they ask you to do something, and you get like really worked up. Like, I'm doing it because I want to do it, not because you told me to do it. Has anyone said that before when you do it? Is that just me? I'm pretty childish sometimes. I'm kind of doing it tongue-in-cheek, but we think that within the context of our own lives a lot of the time as well. Our parents might ask us to do something, or our boss might ask us to do something, or a teacher might ask us to do something, and we go, I'll do it. We know it's probably because there are consequences if we don't do it. We do it because we want to do it, not because you told me to do it. And there's kind of this hint of arrogance about us, right? This lack of humility, which is actually against God's design. And we know this because even God himself is part of the Trinity. We have God the Father, Jesus the Son. Even himself, who is fully one, he still made an aspect of authority and submission within himself. He illustrated through Jesus being a son and God being a father that we were made to actually live in submission to authority. And so as leaders, leadership does not mean that we are just going to dismiss everything that's ever been said because we are leading the way. It's actually the opposite. It's actually coming in humility towards God and saying, God, you are my authority. I wonder if we could have the keys up. That would be awesome. Actually, worship team, you guys can come up as we close. And so we have to learn that submission is a big part of our walk with God. We have to be willing to follow. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. And Esther, you read through this book, Esther and Mordecai, they carry themselves in complete and utter humility. And even towards the king, who is a little bit crazy and a little bit drunk on power, even to him, Esther is still so respectful within that. But there's a moment, and there's this guy called Haman, enter the villain of the story in Esther. Now, Haman did not like the Jews. He did not like the Israelites. He was from a people called the Amalekites, who despised and were always opposing the Israelites. And he actually sets himself on a pedestal, and the king does as well, and makes everyone bow down. And this is where for Mordecai, he was like, I am respectful, but when it comes to bowing down, when it comes to kneeling before someone, I only kneel before God. I bow down before a God who has the ultimate authority. And in life, sometimes, in all submission and healthy respect and humility, there are actually times where leadership requires us to be under God's authority before man's authority. Are you getting that? Because it's so important. The minute it goes away from God's word, this is where we're called to stand. To stand in leadership, just as Mordecai did, to say, I'm not worshiping anyone for God. And so this, before God. And so this made this guy Haman really, really angry. And he put out this decree because he had the power, and the king actually gave him his signet ring, which means his bank account or his credit card, really, all the power that he wanted. And he said, we are going to kill all of the Israelites. And so this is Esther's time, and I want us to read this. You may have heard this passage before, where Mordecai is speaking to Esther. Esther chapter 4, verse 13 to 14 says, do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, that you have come to your royal position, everyone say, for such a time as this. Come on, say that with me. For such a time as this. You know, in that passage, it's really interesting. It says, if you remain silent, then relief will actually come from another point. God doesn't actually need you. If God needed you, He wouldn't be God. But He wants to use you. There will be relief from another point, but you will miss out. You will miss out on what God's calling you to do. And what I really, and this was somewhat new to me over the last little bit, that if you actually look at the lineage of Esther and of Haman, so Haman, the guy who's trying to kill them off, and Esther, the one who's trying to save the day. Esther came from, she was in the 16th generation, the lineage of Saul. Is anyone familiar with Saul? He was actually before David, the guy that took down Goliath. He was the king at this time. And Haman was a direct, in the 16th generation, descendant of Agar. Now, Agar was the king of the Amalekites. And God instructed, are you with me? This is important. God instructed Saul to kill Agar and the Amalekites. Why? He doesn't just tell you to kill people. He told him to kill because he knew that the Israelites were going to be tormented, chased, and tried to be killed for years and years to come if they did not destroy them completely. But what Saul did was he killed off most of them, but he left Agar and he left some of the ox and the cattle and some of their belongings and some of their winnings. He didn't kill them all off. He didn't finish the job. And so fast forward 16 generations, and Esther, who is a descendant of Saul, and Haman, who is a descendant of Agar, is in the same position where Hagar is trying to kill off the Israelites, and Esther is standing up in this moment, and that verse which says, this is your royal position. Perhaps it's here because of such a time as this. If you remain silent, maybe it'll be another 16 generations. Maybe it'll be a longer period of time, but God will find His way. But are you going to step up? And this is our last point. Number three, leadership, the mantle of leadership requires us to take responsibility. Take responsibility. You are positioned for leadership, authority and submission to God, and you take responsibility. Esther went forward to the king and she took responsibility. She saved her people. She finished the job that Saul didn't complete. And she leads in this moment. Not only her, but Mordecai was importantly faithful in the small things, in those little things that were going on around it, to play such a critical role in this as well. They both had a mantle of leadership upon their lives. I'd love us all to close our eyes. Right now, there is God knocking on the doors of our hearts to say, hey, I love you. I'm with you. I'm so grateful that we get to do life together. But hey, I've placed you for such a time as this. Not just when you are 10 years older, not when you've got your life all together, but God wants to use us right now. God wants to use you right now. So God, right now in your presence, we thank you that you give us these stories of encouragement which are so relevant to us in this very day. And as we have sung tonight, there is no one but you. Your word says, If we are silent, the stones, the rocks will cry out. But God, we don't want to be silent. We want to take responsibility for the leadership mantle on our life. And right now, as we're sitting, I'm going to ask you to do something bold, and this was just impressed upon me during worship. If you want to lead, and this is an act of leadership right now, if you want to be a leader for God, not just tonight, but out of this place, be obedient to His call on your life. I just want you to stand right now. I want you to stand to your feet. And it's not an easy thing because people are going to see you. People are going to see you stand. And that's what leadership is. Leadership is standing. Don't stand because other people are standing. We're all going to keep our eyes closed anyway. Stand because you mean it. Stand because you want to lead for the things of God. Because if we stand for the things of God, if we stand to lead, He's going to do miraculous things through us. And if you're not standing, I'd love for you to join. Just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet, everyone. And we're going to close our eyes. And in an act of surrender, we're just going to say, God, use me. Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the fact that your Holy Spirit lives and dwells within me. And right now, Lord, I open myself up to you to be used by you. However that looks, whether it be a big thing or a small thing, God, I pray that you would fill me with your strength and your courage to be obedient to the call that you have upon my life. No one, thank you, Jesus, but you. So, Father God, have your way. I'm just going to sing this. I encourage you to keep your eyes fixed upon God right now. Hold your arms up in surrender if you want to.
No one
to say, God, I'm yours.
But you.
I don't want to follow any other voice around me. I don't want to follow a feeling. I want to be like Esther.
No one.
I want to stand where there needs to be a stand taken. I want to be obedient in the small things. Thank you, Jesus. There is no one greater.
No one.
There is no one more worthy.
But you.
Sing, hear the mountains.
Hear the oceans roar, see the skies light up every heart. Now sing to the.
Come on, this is powerful here.
Hear the rocks cry out, see the mountains.
Come on, let's see it.
Bow every heart.
Stepping forward in leadership.
Worship the Lord.
Taking that mantle of leadership upon your life.
The ocean roll, see the skies light up every heart.
Come on, there's a move of God happening. We want to be a part of it. We want to see God move with power.
Oh, we've got
our friends, thank you, Jesus.
Worship the Lord.
See the lost saved.
Hear the rocks.
Thank you, Jesus.
See the mountains bow every heart. Oh, worship the Lord.
Father God, we thank you for this night. Father, we thank you that there is no one but you. For those of us that You know, the count of the love of God, there is nothing greater. There is no one more worthy. There is no one worthy of our love, of our adoration. And Lord God, we choose to lead people well. We choose to be led well. God, that we would know we are positioned to share your love and your light and your glory and your grace. Lord God, we are willing to be under your authority, your guidance, and we choose to take responsibility. Lord, I thank you for this amazing, amazing frontline family. I thank you that there is more to come. I thank you that we can bring friends along, that we can be excited by our faith because you are moving. And so God, above all else, we pray that you would have the glory. Lord, you would have the glory upon our individual life and upon us as a congregation here, Lord God, that you would be honored and blessed and glorified. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Let's give God a hand tonight.